Good morning. Welcome to another morning Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. It is good to be able to do live and be on Facebook and YouTube simultaneously. For some reason, yesterday when we were doing online worship, that wouldn't work. Like, it just kept shutting down. It kept switching off. And I don't know why, but here we are, and it's working. This morning's cup of coffee is brought to you by Banner of Truth, publisher of fine Christian books, including that massive Psalms commentary right back there. Not that they're like a sponsor or anything. I just like their books, and I like their coffee cup. Anyway, it is a Monday morning, and good to be with you. And we are in one of my favorite Psalms this morning. How many of those do you have? A lot. So this is one of my favorite psalms, and it is one that I preached this summer. Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph, and it's great for sort of refocusing our perspective, putting our eyes back where they belong. It's a great to show us the corrective help that worship gives us, and the practical and life-changing difference that it makes to have our eyes focused on the Lord rather than on the things around us. Let's pray and ask God's help as we look at Psalm 73 this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love for us, for your faithfulness, for your goodness and kindness. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together in your word this morning, that you would write Psalm 73 on our hearts and keep it in our minds and help us to be shaped by its truth as we see you more clearly and as we learn to fix our eyes on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Psalm 73 is a Psalm of Asaph, which is the summer series that we're doing at Forest Hill. Got one more Sunday left, by the way. This Sunday will be the final sermon in our Summer in the Psalms series. On Sunday morning as we do Psalm 83, and then we'll move back to 1 Corinthians after that. But this is a Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, "How can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, 'I will speak thus,' I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant toward you. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Amen. That is Psalm 73. So Asaph begins Psalm 73 by telling us right up front in verse 1 the lesson that he has learned, the truth that has become even more precious to him, the rock on which he stands, and this is the goodness of God. The theme of Psalm 73 is really the goodness of God and the danger of the envy of the wicked. So you see, the first verse says, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are poor, pure in heart. And the last verse says, but for me it is good to be near God. It could also be translated, but for me the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. But if you look at that first verse and that last verse, they both talk about the goodness of God. And so this is a psalm that really is about the goodness of God, and then the struggle and the temptation to envy the wicked. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. He says, I almost made shipwreck of my faith. I almost lost it. I almost betrayed the Lord, and I almost walked away. So that's a pretty serious thing for him to say about himself. Asaph was a leader in the worship of God in the tabernacle and then in the temple. David appointed him, and then he continued to serve under Solomon, and then he actually established a line of his descendants, many of whom were also named Asaph, who continued to lead the worship of God in Israel. So if this is that first Asaph, which I believe it was, think of the consequences that would have happened had he stumbled, had he slipped, had he walked away, had he made shipwreck of his faith. He's a leader. He's a worship leader. He is a one who leads the praises of God's people, who writes psalms. In fact, many Bible scholars believe that even many of the psalms of David, when they say to the choir master, that they were likely given to Asaph, and then Asaph set them to music that was appropriate for the congregation of Israel to sing. So he almost stumbled. He almost slipped. Why? For, whenever you see the word for, it's telling you why. It's because I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he looks around and he sees a bunch of rich people who are wicked, arrogantly wicked, and they are prosperous. The prosperity of the arrogant wicked really causes him trouble. He describes the arrogant wicked for us in verses 4 through 10 about how well off they are, about how content they are, about how bold they are in their sin. They speak with malice and threaten oppression, that's of the poor. They set their mouths against the heavens, that's they speak mockingly about God. Their tongue struts through all the earth. And look at the effect of this. The effect of this is that God's people, that's what it means by his people, God's people, Turn back to them, the prosperous, arrogant, wicked, and find no fault in them. And they say, well, how can God know? Is there knowledge of the Most High? So these people are so bold in their arrogance, in their wickedness, and so abundant in their prosperity that even God's people look around and say, well, I guess they must be okay. I guess they're doing it right because God doesn't seem to be paying any attention. God doesn't seem to care, right? It really is a disturbing, a deeply disturbing situation. And Asaph says, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. And then he begins to think, why am I honoring God with my life? What am I gaining from my profession of faith, my diligence in watching over my life, my zeal for the Lord? What am I gaining? And he seems to think nothing. Like, I'm not gaining anything in terms of worldly gain. And so he begins to think it's all in vain. His life of faith, of loving the Lord and serving the Lord, is all in vain because it's not profiting him anything. He just, you know, he's stricken all the day long. He's rebuked every morning. You know, there are people who think that serving God, honoring God, loving God is a fast track to abundance and prosperity. And they'll teach it. You know, you're a child of King. You got to claim your blessing. You got to name it and claim it. You just got to have the word of faith that will speak. Well, there's no one who's been more faithful than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was homeless and poor and despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. All of the apostles, if they had money, they gave it away for service in the kingdom. And they all died either martyrs' deaths or they died in exile. There is not, serving God is not a way to get rich. It's a way to get something better than riches, which is what Asaph would have to learn to see. Asaph would have to learn to see that serving God is not a way to get riches, but it's a way to get something that's better than riches. So he comes to the end of this sort of downward spiral of descent by saying, if I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. So at least he knows enough to keep his mouth shut, right? Sometimes that's the better part of wisdom. The better part of wisdom is knowing well enough to keep your mouth shut. And that includes on social media, which I sometimes struggle with, honestly. But so this is the conclusion that he reaches comes here. When I thought how to understand this, so I'm not going to speak out loud the things that I really think, which is, what's the point, right? But how do I understand it? He tried to understand it, and he couldn't. He meditated in his heart. He sought. It was a wearisome task until, this great word, until. It was a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. He went to worship. He went to worship God with God's people. Then I discerned their end. I cannot tell you, as a pastor, I cannot tell you how many Sunday mornings I have been frustrated, discouraged by my own sin, by conflict around me, by the world and its horrible ways. And I go to worship and God fixes my attitude, my perspective, and gives me his perspective and his joy. It happens again and again and again. So what does he see? He discerns their end. That is, he sees that although they are now prosperous and wealthy, they are going to fall in ruin. They are going to be judged. And that reminds him that what he has been given by God is something greater than riches, in that he has been given eternal life and an eternal relationship with God. When his days are over, he will be with the Lord. When the days of the prosperous wicked are over, they will be condemned, far away from God. And then he begins to think about the goodness of God. He begins to think about how deep he had gone in his despair and in his envy. See, envy leads to despair. He had gotten so deep that he was like an animal. He was brutish and ignorant, like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. What is it that kept Asaph from falling? It wasn't himself. It was God holding his right hand. That's what kept him. Asaph was ready to give up on God, but God never gave up on Asaph. You may at times feel frustrated and tired and ready to give up, but God's not giving up on you. God is with you. God is holding you if you belong to him by faith in Jesus Christ. You guide me with your counsel. In this life, God guides us with his counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. See, there's the difference. Their end, you make them fall to ruin. My end, you will receive me to glory. So where do you want to go in your life? Do you want to go toward ruin, or do you want to go toward glory? Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This gets deeper into the here and now. Not only am I heading to a better destiny than the arrogant wicked, but I have a better treasure now than the arrogant wicked. They may have riches. They may have food. They may have pleasure of the flesh. What I have is God, who is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides God. So those who are far from you shall perish. But for me, it is good to be near God, or the nearness of God is my good. I've made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So, believer, when you feel discouraged by the world, when you feel discouraged by people who seem to be mocking God and yet are prospering, and you wonder, what is God doing and why am I serving him? Remember, go and worship him with his people. And in worship, see two things: your greater destiny in glory, and your greater treasure now in the Lord. You have God now, and you have glory awaiting you. And that is something that the world cannot even begin to understand, much less offer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for the anchor for our souls. Thank you for lifting our eyes to gain a fresh perspective, to look at things, Father, as you would have us see them. If we are yours through your Son, Jesus Christ, then we are kept by you. We have the great treasure of you, and we will be with you in glory forever. Help us to remember, to hold on, and when our heart begins to faint, remind us to go to worship, to be reoriented to you. We praise you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. We're going to meet again on Wednesday morning and do Psalm 74. We're not going to meet on Friday morning. Just have some family stuff going on as we're getting ready for the beginning of the school year. So Wednesday morning we'll be in Psalm 74. Look forward to seeing you then. Hopefully we'll be together. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.